Earnings, earnings everywhere. Companies reveal their bottom lines.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, in for Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update for Monday, April 22nd. Shares of Caterpillar are down this morning. That after some disappointing earnings news. The heavy equipment maker announced profits down 45%. It also cut its forecast for the year. Joining us now from New York is Julia Coronado, chief economist for North America at BNP Paribas. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning.
Julia, what do you make of this news from Caterpillar?
So a lot of it was expected. We knew it was a tough quarter for Caterpillar, but the mix of their earnings does tell the story of the global economy, which is, you know, the U.S. business looks okay, not great. China looks okay, but a little more subdued than before. Europe looks terrible. And falling commodity prices are taking a toll on the mining business. So all in all, it leads to a pretty muddled and fairly subdued outlook for Caterpillar.
What does this say about the global economy?
Well, I mean, I think it tells the story of the transformation that's underway. You've got a country like China that's grown off of exporting to the U.S. and Europe, and the U.S. and Europe aren't growing the way they used to anymore. So how does China, where does China's growth engine come from? In fact, this is the question facing companies right now is who and where does global, who's going to drive global growth? Where is it going to come from?
What else are we expecting from company earnings this week?
Well, I think it's going to be more mixed results than we've seen before. So the market's gotten used to upside surprises, and it's been much more so far an average earnings season. So we haven't seen systematic outperformance. Some companies are doing okay, others not so good. So I think it's going to be a lot of cross currents going on.
Julia Coronado with BNP Paribas. Thank you, Julia.
It's a pleasure.
Company earnings are one measure of our economy. Another one is coming out later this week. Gross domestic product. GDP is a sum total of all the goods and services produced in this country. It's expected to grow by 3% in July. But it's not that the economy is booming. It's that there's a new way to calculate GDP. Marketplace's Noel King explains.
The new and improved GDP will include a couple things that haven't been part of the formula before. First, there's the money earned from creative works like movies, TV shows, books, music, and theater. Then there are intangible assets like spending on research and development. Right now, R&D is simply considered a cost of doing business, but from now on...
What we're going to do is we're going to essentially cover more of it as producing something of lasting value and therefore contributing to output.
Louis Alexander is chief U.S. economist for Nomura. He says the new additions are meant to reflect what's important in a 21st century economy.
You can think of it as the growing importance of the IT industry, but obviously the entertainment industry as well.
Alexander says that while these additions will boost GDP, they'll be too small to fundamentally change our view of how the economy is doing. I'm Noel King for Marketplace.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
The city of Prato, near Florence, Italy, has been in the textile business for centuries. But things are changing. Since the 1980s, thousands of mainland Chinese have moved in, and they're giving the Italian manufacturers a run for their money. The BBC's Sylvia Smith reports.
I'm in the middle of piles and piles of identical dresses that are being put together here in a poorly lit and crowded factory by Chinese workers. The demand for cheaply made, mass-produced clothing, or fast fashion, is growing. Some of the workers are illegal, but Chinese entrepreneur Su Lin, who's long established in Prato, explains that without the Chinese, the situation would be far worse.
The Chinese are buying Italian wool from companies here, and they're also creating employment for Italians as fast fashion is growing.
It may puncture local pride that the Chinese are producing fashion garments faster than the Italians ever could. But driving down prices is only one part of the equation. To the discerning eye, Chinese clothes with the enviable Made in Italy label are easily identified as cheap knockoffs of top catwalk designs. Lu Chen is a Chinese model who's been living in Milan for 5 years.
Lots of Chinese come over to Italy to study design at one of the big fashion schools, but the Chinese are strong only when it comes to copying. I don't feel that they have the same ability as Italians to move fashion forward.
Italians, however, believe the growing number of Chinese millionaires on the mainland could benefit from Italian know-how. Marco Landi is president of the Tuscany branch of trade body CNA, which represents small and medium-sized firms.
The quality of life here in Tuscany is the best that there is. This is reflected in the quality, the creativity, the inventiveness, and the detail of our fashion.
The Chinese newcomers have opened up the market in mainland China in a way Italians never could. They've also brought the aspirational Made in Italy label to millions who might otherwise be quite happy with their locally made clothes. In Prato, I'm the BBC's Sylvia Smith for Marketplace.
And finally, attention job seekers. Stonehenge is looking for a general manager. The position pays nearly $100,000 a year. Duties include tending the site, liaising with Druid leaders, and making sure the solstice celebrations don't compromise the, quote, mystery and integrity of the stones. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.